Screen again.
You have to allow me to share again.
Okay. Okay, seems to do it. Usually it asks me to ask you if that is allowed, but it
But do you
isn't
see,
currently.
you probably see my screen now, don't you?
Yes, I do.
Okay. I'm good. So this is the county that has oh shoot, let me see if I can get these controls out of the way again so I can. It seems like
Things are getting in the way.
well, it just I can't it seems like I can't get it on my buttons. So this is let's do the clerk's land records first. And
So you get there by just having the subdirectory of the county, and then you get this listing of clerk and other things.
yeah, there's a few paths to it. From their home page, there's a link to it, and also from the map server, there's a link to it. But this is the standalone interface where they can do a query on it. And so I can put in a grantor, grantee. You're familiar with that language, right? Grantor, grantee.
Not exactly in this kind of combination. Grantor, yeah, you grant something.
The grantor would be a person who sells the property, and the grantee is the person who buys it.
Okay.
And so I put in Brown, which is a common name for the grantor. In other words, it says, I don't know if you can see that. Can
Let's
you
see.
read that type or do I need to enlarge it?
I can kind of read it, but barely.
That better?
Yeah, a little better. So that.
So you can see it says grantor slash seller, grantee slash owner or buyer.
Okay.
And so I submit a query, and then this is what is called an abstract. It lists all the people named Brown who have sold property.
So there's a list of transactions here.
Yeah, so there's 310, and so I'm showing you the first page. We can also go well, there's a number of ways to search. So obviously I could do Brown again, and I could put a date on it, and I could increase us to from 2020. I don't even know how to work this anymore.
I think you didn't pick a day that story didn't pick up. Okay. 20. So there's only 44 left.
Right. And then,
Is it still all accessible for the public?
right, that's that's pretty much the point of it. And then I might be looking for a specific subdivision plat, so I might let's see if I can find one. So again, it's an abstract. In other words, all of these properties are in the Redstone 7th edition. And again, we're listing the grantor and the grantee. And then that is a link to the actual document. So you can see it's pretty valuable.
So that is us again in the S3 thing. Okay.
Yep.
So we have all that comprehensive in here together.
Yeah. I do, one of the things, again, let's not get too much in the weeds of the technical stuff, but I do rate limiting, and because there's some people will scrape this data or attempt to. And so if you look down the lower left, when I'm hovering over it, you can see that the link says signed doc.php. And then it's doc equals 044-5804.
Mm-hmm.
And so the Amazon S3 bucket has something called a signed document. And so when I click on it, you can see that this is the PDF that we save in the S3 bucket. And then everything over here is a key that will eventually expire. And that's how I can rate limit stuff. I don't let anybody get at the document without going through this PHP interface. In other words, they're not public read. You have a tremendous amount of control over every object in the S3 bucket. And the signed document is something where when I make the request, I can put, I'm not saying this too clearly, but I can restrict access to it so that it's, I can serve the document up via the PHP and the document is read straight out of the S3 bucket, but I have kind of, it's sort of like I can be a traffic cop. So you can't just read that stuff without going through that signed doc.php. And so each time somebody clicks that signed doc.php, I write a row into the Postgres database with that user's IP address and a timestamp on it. And if they try to get more than 90 of these in 1 hour, then I throttle them back for the next hour. And, you know, that's just sort of a high level explanation of it, but it's one of the kind of neat things that they can do. So this form, you know, so I showed you can do grantor, grantee, you can do date, you can also do subdivision. And then this is the public land survey system that we were talking about before. And I can look for things that are in sections 14. And
how do you create that query? Is there, do you have a layer for the township and range that you use, or do it a different way?
No, it's strictly tabular.
So basically that information is all with a record.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And so
it also has the ability to search by these IDs and document numbers in the top, right?
Yep. So you can mix and match this stuff. In other words, if I have done a section township range search, I could also put in a individual's name. And then there's also the ability to look for specific document types.
Is this data also pulled on a daily basis?
Yeah.
So that's one part of the data that's pulled.
Yeah. So here what I've done is I've filtered for a grantee of Brown and a document type of mortgage.
Quite a lot of different document types when you have this list.
Yeah. There's too many. I've encouraged them Some of them are pretty stupid. It's like they only have a handful of them, but this is pretty stable. It doesn't change real often, but
So in for the counties where you have multiple of these applications, just so like sublet, is everything in the same database then?
yeah, I don't know what I've done on this server. This is my dev server. I don't have it.
Is it in a different schema or
Yeah.
OSS or
So
that?
here's the there are 10 schemas in this county. It's the again the most complex. And so it's the county clerk's land records. And these tables, so there's 14 tables to do that query. And pretty much all of them are updated each night. And so there's so it's all tabular. No, there's no spatial objects in this table. And they're all joined, and the format pretty much mirrors the Microsoft SQL Server database that comes off of. Oh, okay. So I guess the other thing is so obviously we have a link to the document, and then we also have a Mapit link. And so that opens it in the map server. And then we can flip it around and we can click on a parcel in the map server. And from there, we go back to the clerk's records. And so that's a really, really powerful level of integration. And that's part of the reason that some of these folks just kind of think of this as this whole big thing is the GIS broadly, even though these land records are specifically coming out of the county clerk's office, because I've linked them to the map, so we can we can go to the map, or we can go from the map to the abstract. They just think of it as the GIS, and of course I'm happy for them to think of it that way. Anyway, it's pretty funny that I can't believe I clicked on that one. That's a friend of mine.
Okay.
So you haven't worried too much about this. It's pretty stable. It's not something I put a lot of time into. I wrote this more than 20 years ago, and the first time I wrote it, I wrote it in ASP, and then we rewrote it in PHP. Carol did a lot of work on it, and it's just not something that only one county's using it. It's not something that is
Also,
change.
the clerk is only for sublet.
Yep.
Okay.
It was used in Teton, but I don't work for those guys anymore. So,
Well, that was the one where you had a hiccup with the county.
yeah, I had legal problems with them, and I don't know. I mean, it's just lingo. The other part of it then that's pretty important, that is a little bit more work and it does change a little bit more frequently, is the treasurer's stuff. And that was we're doing that for three counties. And so it has some of that same bi-directional linking. So here's the tax information, and I can click on it. And it's kind of a similar deal. It gives you a history of the taxes on the property. And there's a few things that are a little bit more complex on it. It changes, state statute changes, and some of the things we have to show or some of the calculation. I guess the challenge with this is that there are more calculations. We pull the raw data out and we have to collect, we have to calculate the interest on it. So in this case, they're not delinquent yet. And so there's no interest. You can see that the tax levied is $231.67. The amount due is $231.67. If they were delinquent, then we would have to calculate interest on it. And there's a few other calculations that are a little bit annoying that change sometimes. It also has a search, just kind of like the other one. Doesn't look like that link works. I wonder what's up with that.
Well, we had some trouble when there was Zoom running sometimes that certain things wouldn't go.
Yeah, no. The search is much simpler. As you can see, you can put in an ID, an owner. This is really old. I mean, the search tab, but
as long as it works, it doesn't matter.
Right. And they're not really looking for change. And so the other part that's a little more complex on this is that I can pay it online. And I can pay the full amount or I can pay the first half. And if I go to checkout now, we don't touch the credit cards or payment process or anything like that. We hand it off to a payment processor. And so we send a record to their API. And so you can see that we're no longer on Greenwood Map at this point, but you can see that we've sent to the API the account information. So it's the parcel number, and they can't change the amount here, which is really good. It saves that treasurer's quite a bit of headaches. And obviously I'm not going to pay this person's taxes, even though his name is Greenwood. I don't like him that well. So the treasurer's information and the clerk's information comes out of a system called YCATS, which is an abbreviation or an acronym for Wyoming Clerk Assessor Treasurer System. And it was an old legacy system. And then it's got kind of a long, interesting history, but I don't want to drag this out forever. But it's now maintained by a guy in Wyoming. And he's pretty cooperative with us. In other words, he maintains the legacy back end part of it. It used to run on an IBM AIX and Unix, and it was a serial terminal mode system when I first web enabled it. And then there was quite a bit of evolution with ownership. It's kind of interesting that the vendor abandoned the product, and the clerks, assessors, and treasurers who are using the product, you know, obviously freaked out. And this was in my very early days of open source. I hadn't even done anything with a map server, but I did have the idea of source code ownership. And so I told them, like, hey, you should go to the vendor and demand that they give you the source code, and then we'll go out and find somebody to support it. And they asked me if I wanted to support it, and thankfully I said no. but we put out a request, basically a job posting, and this guy, well, the five counties that were using it formed a joint powers board. They did acquire the software, not for free, but they acquired a full license to it, and they hired a guy to maintain it, and he's been maintaining it for 25 years now, and he
Wow.
ported it from the AIX to Windows, PC-based thing with a Microsoft SQL Server backend. But I've continued to web enable it, the front end of it, for all those years. And he's generally been pretty helpful. He understands some of the tax stuff better than we do. And when there is, like, if the mathematics of it behind it change because of a change in the laws, we talk with him, and he can usually explain it pretty, he says, well, I had to add a new table because it went from a one-to-one relationship to a one-to-many relationship. And so here's the name of the table, and he's good with, foreign keys, and his stuff's solid. And so then we just dump out the new table, and then we do, aggregate query instead of, just pulling in a single field. And it's a pain in the butt, but it's no worse than anything else, I guess I could say.
So one question is how will I be prompted that there's changes to be made? Will the clients ask, or will they just trust that I pick it up somehow else?
Well, ideally, the guy that maintains the YCAT stuff, his name is Brian, and he knows that you're taking over. I've talked with him, and ideally, he knows that it's going to impact the front end, but a lot of times he forgets, and so a lot of times it breaks. I don't mean like on a regular basis, but like maybe every couple of years there's some change and it breaks. And, so it's not the most ideal situation, but the treasurer calls up and or doesn't actually call. Typically, the treasurer sends, if it's not working, the treasurer will usually send Brian and me an email because the treasurer doesn't necessarily know what's wrong. And it could be something simple, like the data transfer failed the night before because the internet was down. And I have some good checks in there that would detect that in many cases. But it could be that Brian changed had to change some code that broke our code. And he's smart enough to kind of go, oh yeah, I probably broke it. And so then he'll tell me, then we fix it.
Okay. Okay,
Yeah.
so those are six counties, you said.
Just for th three for the treasurer.
Three.
It would be really nice if Brian took this code over, and it would make a lot of sense. But the problem is, he's an employee of this five county joint powers board. And so he has mo no motivation, financial motivation. There's no incentive for him to take on more work. And I might talk to him about it someday, but because it's not something that's profitable, it's not something you're going to be excited about either. It's not a big deal because it's not a lot of hours that go into it one way or the other, but there's not a lot of money that comes out of it one way or the other either. It's a break even and nothing more. And we'll figure that out. It's not a big part of the whole thing, but Anything that breaks suddenly does become a bigger part of it. So, do you want to call it good, or do you want to drill down a little bit more on the assessor toolkit, which was the other thing that had
Yeah,
a
I
few.
think the assessor toolkit, that would be good to see that as well. Because that was, how many counties have the assessor toolkit?
I think 12.
Oh, okay.
So I did show it to you.
Yeah, I think initially when we looked at it first.
We didn't get as far into it, some of the more complex ones. So again, the main thing is that it creates a new layer group. And many of these layers are pretty basic. They're just, you turn them on, you turn them off. But some of them have some more complex stuff going on. And I think I started showing you this tab a little bit, but
We looked at the LAEAs at some point, at some time.
yeah, there's no magic there. You can just turn a couple of them on, and it's a thematic layer that depending on what they've turned on, it'll zoom to whatever they're showing. But some of the more complex stuff, is, let me see if I can find it. So this box allows them to paste data in. They could paste it in from a spreadsheet, or they could paste it in from a query in their software. And so the first column has to be the, this isn't a very good one. The first column has to be the ID for the polygon. And the second column is what we classify it on. And then any additional columns are the label. And so they can set a color. They can, again, it's a thematic mapping, but what's cool is they can paste the data in from an external application. And we've mapped it and we've labeled it. So that's cool. And then we have, did I show you the wellhead exemption report?
I think we looked at yeah, we looked at that when you get the 40 acres.
Yeah.
That is also all in the assessor toolkit, or was that anywhere else?
No, this is all assessor toolkit.
Oh, then we did look to some degree at it, to some part.
Yeah, I think we did.
I forgot it was specifically assessor. I recall we looked at it, but I wasn't aware it was assessor data.
Yeah, what is it's a point and polygon thing, and
Yeah, you were showing this, and then we looked at a township and range, and where are those, and
right.
exemptions you get, and so on.
Yeah, so each one of these is a the little circle thing is a producing wellhead, and then the green cross hatching indicates that they got an exemption of 40 acres for that. The other one that's so you don't have to know a whole lot about this, but if an assessor says, if the assessor mentions a wellhead exemption report, you just need to be able to say, yeah, I'm familiar with it. Or, well, you can't say, I've never heard of it, I guess is my only goal here.
Yeah, no, I get that one.
It's a fairly esoteric thing, but it's just a great simple GIS query of three spatial layers and, you know, an aggregate query to add up the 40s and spatial queries to figure out, you know, where it's pointing a polygon and then, you know, which polygons fall within the other polygon, and then sum up the acreage and present it in a nice looking format that they can review. And, you know, it's kind of fun stuff, really, because it's, you know, you're leveraging the sort of things that Postgres posts just do so nicely. The other one that I wanted to show you was
is there anything specific with this ACT tool? Oh yeah, go into
this one's kind of the most complex of them all. And it starts, rather than with a report, it starts with, bear with me, because I work with this so infrequently, I have to remember. This is subject matter that might make, that might be even more tangible to you.
In general, are these the people that you should use it? Are they good in using it or not so much?
They know more about it than I do, I'll tell you that.
Okay.
And some of them are quite good. See, I'm having trouble with my buttons again.
Maybe it's the Zoom, but
yeah, it
sometimes
seems to be. This Zoom bar, I can't seem to get out of the way, but it seems like it sits on top of some of my buttons here.
Maybe you need to make the Zoom not full screen, but make it a little smaller than that. It could help.
This might work. Yeah. So this is completely different set of layers I need to show, but these are soil types. So they, where it says DOR in parentheses is Department of Revenue. And so the Department of Revenue takes soil surveys and classifies them for production. Production meaning what is the potential of this soil? And there's also things that are called LRAs, which are also a very generalized agricultural production indicator. So I guess starting with the LRAs might be the best thing. And so the LRA is based on elevation and precipitation. So you got this big broad brush thing. And so these are the colors are probably sort of backwards. This green stuff is the least productive. It's the highest elevation. And then this is lower elevation, and this is somewhat lower, and this is the lowest elevation stuff in this county. And there may be some, it's not strictly contours, there's also precipitation data. And so then the LRAs may be by, the other criteria is what is the person, what is the property owner doing with it? Is it range land where they're running cattle or sheep? Or is it, are they growing crops on it? And if they're growing crops, we want to know if it's irrigated or not. So we overlay, it's hard to present this in a real top-down thing, because again, it's a GIS query and I'm not sure which one's the easiest to explain, but, the land use then is, are they irrigating it or not? in its simplest terms. Sometimes there's also dry crop where it's considered to be cropland, but they're not actively irrigating it. So this layer is what we call land use, and the blue stuff is where they're irrigating, and the brown stuff is where we are assuming that it's for, you know, rangeland, cattle, sheep, what have you. And so this is, if we're, if we're looking at this parcel here, and the blue we know is irrigated, then the LRA that we apply to it is LRA 4-5 irrigated. And it turns out this county, everything is all in just one irrigated classification. The brown stuff, we have to look at the rangeland LRA, and we can see that it's, this whole parcel is going to be an LRA 4. And then depending on whether it's range or irrigated, we then have to look at the soil type. So for the irrigated, again, it's not very interesting. It's all in the, this Roman numeral 5 through 8.
Mm-hmm.
And then for the stuff that's rangeland, it's somewhat more interesting. God knows why. I don't know how they come up with some of this stuff, but we can see there's a number of rangeland soil types there. And so again, it's a polygon overlay. Anything that's within the well, anything that's outside of the blue, we're going to use this. Anything that's inside the blue, we're going to use this. And then similarly, we're going to apply the correct LRAs to it. And whoops. And so we can do
so in from these people we'll meet, we said it's all elected officials. Are there some that are interested in this, or are other people working with that, this specific tool here?
Yeah, and that's one of the reasons I want to show it to you, is that it might be their staff that do it. But so I got infrared on here.
Oh.
And so you can see this is what's called a center pivot irrigation.
So is that moving around that center point, kind of the, in a circle, kind of the irrigation thing?
Yep.
Okay.
This is, yeah. This is also a center point, or center pivot rather. And it's interesting that if we look here, for whatever reason, he didn't classify that. This is probably an older data set. And so this is a great example. So I need to put in a center pivot. And by virtue of having the land use layer on, I can now take this and I can draw now it's automatically saved and it's automatically classified as irrigated by virtue of the attribute that I put in there.
Mm-hmm.
And then I can come over here and this will run the query automatically each night. Or if I want to see the results in real time, actually, let me show you before we run it.
But this one is password protected, is it?
Yeah.
And so they can edit the data directly here.
Yeah, so this is the one that Eldon was kind of interested in, was how we were saving this stuff. So this is before I've run the process. And so I click on the parcel. The gold is the highlight, and then we can see these are called abstract codes, and this is what they've put in, and this is what the summary is over here. And so we don't have an abstract code for this center pivot, and it's probably going to be the abstract code will probably be 40107. And so if we look over here at 40107, you can see we have 1,343 acres of this classification. And so the abstract code tells them, you know, what the value of that is going to be. So then I'm going to come over here, and it takes 15, 20 seconds because it does the whole county. And obviously, I'm doing this on my dev server. And obviously, it's pretty bare bones since, you know, like five users ever do it. Okay, so you can see it automatically. You know, we can see that previously it wasn't identified as irrigated. We can see that it has now got that 4107. This specific column is 108. And then I've got to click on the parcel again to get the update. And so whatever we had before, 1400 acres or whatever it was, now we've got 1500 acres, which is this is the aggregate total for this parcel. But then they can look at the individual ones and say, I got 180 here. I've got 961 over here. I've got 181 here.
That's a huge parcel.
Yeah, it's Wyoming.
There's
It looks like it's
a whole county in Germany.
yeah, it's 5,900 acres. So it's too bad Eldon didn't see that, but
Well, he has access to the video then when that one says
oh,
it.
good. So it's pretty cool. I mean, as soon as you'll notice I don't have a save button up here or anything like that. As soon as I start editing, got to be on the correct layer. And as soon as I start editing this guy, it's writing. In other words, when I deselect it, it's writing it out to the database.
Okay.
Yeah, fortunately. Oh, I see. I have too many layers. I'm sorry. You really do have to use this a fair amount, which I don't, obviously. And I don't know if you can see that, but I do have snapping.
Yeah, I can see that.
You know, so again, I'm just using open layers, snapping. And these don't have to be very precise, you know, because we're talking very broad brush ag land stuff. So, you know, it's really not. I think when I do that summary of abstract codes, I think I reject anything under an acre, you know, because we're talking about pretty low value land. And so in other words, what I'm doing here is silly, and it's not t cost effective, but I'm just illustrating it for you for
Okay.
what its capabilities are.
Did
So
they
anyway,
have requirements for accuracy when you talked about that initially, or not so much?
for this, no. It's you know, it's just sagebrush out there. It's
And if I talk to these guys, will any of them be excited that my background is soil science?
yeah. Yeah, honestly, That's good. And then the other project that I honestly don't remember a darn thing about is totally up your alley. It's that Carolina Precision.
Oh, I was asking about the URL. I wasn't even sure how to get there. So,
And so it's got two different things, and I honestly I've written it long enough ago I can't remember, but this is that JavaScript data tables thing that we were talking about. So this is a list of all their clients, and I'm embarrassed to say I can't really remember what I'm doing with some of this. She can upload stuff in here, and the last couple of years, the only thing I've done is changed one parameter in the JavaScript to set it to be the default year. We'd have to review this if there's significant changes to it. It would be fun if you could talk to her sometime. She's very businesslike. She's very terse. She does not chit chat. And her manner can almost seem abrasive sometimes because she's so direct. But she runs an interesting small business and works over several states in the United States. And what she does in the most general terms is that this is southeastern United States. And so, trying to show you, these are very small little farms. You can see that it's like completely different than Wyoming. So these are actually halfway large ones at 14 acres. And so she will contract with the farmer. And she goes out and samples the soil, and then she can make crop recommendations and recommend fertilizer, and basically improve the productivity of the crops they grow. And so this is the one thing, and I can't remember what she calls it. And then the other one, well, she can upload files here.
That would be new clients, or what would you upload?
No. I might have a problem on my dev server. So this is where she'd pick a client. This is a specific field, and then she would either have this is North Carolina Department of Agriculture, the soil sample, or a nematode sample. Or she works in MapInfo. I don't think she uploads a whole lot of these regularly, but she would upload a sample. So we have to know what type of sample it is, so she, or what type of file it is, for that matter. And so this is the most common one. And I don't even remember what nematode is. Do you know what nematode is?
Some organism, but I'm not very familiar with it. I think it's some organisms in a soil.
So she's gone out, sampled, and she's got a report. So she sends this, she has a crew of maybe 30 people, and they go out and do these samples. They send them to the North Carolina Department of Agriculture, and they get a file back that's in a it's I think it's usually a CSV. And sorry, I don't have any on this computer. Anyway, we can skip that. And So normally you'd have a file, you know, you'd pick the sample that you're going to upload, and then you would update. And so it processes it and gives you a report as to whether there are any errors. And then it would zoom to the map, or we can go straight to the map here. And so there's a bunch of calculations that occur back here. And so this site apparently has two samples on it, one from 2017 and one from 2020. And so this is the data that would have been in that CSV. And then, whoops, sorry. I thought there is another thing here. The problem is I did a lot of work on this, and I don't think she uses
What's
quite
that?
as a few of the things that I worked on, but there was a kind of cool thing we had, and she may still use it or not. She's not shy about letting you know if she is. But there is a kind of thing, and I can't find it now, where it would actually, whoops, I don't know why I keep doing it. It would actually calculate recommendations for crops based on some formulas. But at any rate, if she does ask for changes or whatever, she knows her stuff, and you would probably talk her language better than I do. And again, it's one of these things where you can edit the polygons, although again, she doesn't tend to, she just uploads them. So
Okay. So sounds like for a while there was not many changes on this, you said.
no, very few. Like I said, the only thing that she changes is the sampling year, so it defaults to a different one. So, and I did I sent an introductory email, and I think she just sent a real quick one line, you know, look forward to working with you kind of reply or something like that. And she's paid through February. And I don't anticipate any big changes there. At one point, she had years ago, she had these big, high, you know, she thought the stuff I was doing, and mind you, everything I was doing was, you know, directly what she told me to do. It's definitely subject matter that I'm not familiar with. But she was pretty pleased with what we're doing. And so she thought, like, I could market this all over the US. And that obviously hasn't come to pass. It's just, you know, it was crazy. But it's, you know, I don't see it expanding, but it's a market. There are probably plenty of other tools that do the same thing. And so to get into that market, could be kind of tough, but whatever. That's I'll leave that to you.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting though. I had some funny clients over the year. One of them is in California. I always called him the crazy client because he seemed to want to take on him. He's like into geocoding business, so he is using it was postal service data and tiger data to do a geocoder out of these two things and put them together. And he always was convinced that this his geocoder is the best ever. You know. Friend of mine, I met first at Phosphogy 2007 in Victoria. He wrote that for him, and then you know the guy, Robert Hollingworth. I thought you know he's like a technical guy, so he was in this single consultant birds of a feather session in Victoria, and then I sort of. We exchange emails, and I thought I would never hear of him again. But he's probably more not an entrepreneur, more like a he's rather be an employee, I think, because that's you know only wants to do the technical stuff, not bother with like bills and invoices and stuff. But years later, he contacted me, and then I was this client became a big one, and he was had these ideas and you know, to market this or that, and Most of it had never worked, so I know people like that. So
I know. I know. I mean, I'm the same deal. I just like the technical stuff. And
how did you meet her? Was it kind of by accident, or is it something that she, because
she
she's
found me on the web, and my earlier versions, the first county that I did the map server for used MapInfo. And this was before Google Maps. And so it was 1999, 2000 time frame. And what we were really shooting for was to emulate a desktop GIS. And so I made the interface look like MapInfo in the sense that I just borrowed the little icons for the buttons, the zoom and pan and info and so on from MapInfo, and made my first map server, the toolbar looked like you're in MapInfo. And I picked up two different clients. I'm 99% sure because they were surfing the web, came across my site. The other one was a MapInfo company also. And I swear they just looked at it and they said, "Oh, this looks familiar. I think I'll email this guy." The other one was a company in Louisiana that did reverse 911. So I built them an app where you could click on, like, say it was an oil refinery explosion. And so we had some kind of nifty little features where you could click on it, and then you could even draw like a plume type of thing. And then again, it was just a simple point and polygon, query out all the points in their database. And then they had a back end that then auto dialed. They had a whole bunch of phone lines, and so they could send out, I think, several dozen phone calls simultaneously. And so it, I just built a list of all the records that fell within this polygon. And it was never a particularly profitable project, but it was kind of interesting to work on. And it was interesting because we were working with databases with, quite a few million records in them, whereas in Wyoming, when we get into hundreds of thousands of records, that's big for Wyoming stuff. So yeah, I'm pretty sure that's how she found me. I'm pretty sure it's how those guys found me.
Well, interesting. Okay, so we got to most of the things
We did.
we can
I guess
look.
the one we didn't look at is this, and we don't need to look at that now. I need to sign off. It's an hour later here, and but I did just want to, like I say, it doesn't matter that you are real familiar with these, but it'll just be easier if one of the assessors or a treasurer, or if the county clerk from Sublette will definitely want to meet you, and I'll introduce you to the treasurers. And certainly we'll be spending the majority of our time with the assessors, and so they're all curious to meet you, and they'll have questions. And at least if you've seen these things, it'll just be a little bit easier for you to
Yeah, so put it in
talk about that.
perspective and know what's going on.
Yeah.
So, and the last email you sent to Clara Chaffin of City
Oh, yeah, don't
Planners.
worry about it. She's the city planning director for Douglas, which is within Converse County. And she wants to go all ESRI. And I included you in it primarily because I have done some production work for them. And it was more important to introduce Stephen.
To them, okay. Just to
But
have just both
yeah, at
them
least,
about me to be comprehensive, you know?
yeah, I don't get to bill her independent or separately from the county. So I don't know what the future is. I don't know if she'll really get off the ground with this ESRI thing. The assessor in that county, I met with her yesterday. That was the county that I was over at. And she's very opposed to what this woman, Clara, wants to do. And, so it's politics that fortunately we can stay out of. But it is possible that, she might back away.